you, you know, there won't be any stealing. There won't be any clean hands because there'll be no hands at all. They'll all be chopped off. So the point is this, you cannot frighten people, badger people, indoctrinate people to have inside-out transformation. After a while, it will break. It doesn't happen. So this morning is an important message for you and I. How do we make real, long-lasting transformation? How do you and I change to be the person God wants us to be? Here's how it's not to be done, not from the outside. Now, you can say the church doesn't do this to you. No, the church does something else. The church can pressure you subtly. Here's a woman, Suzanne Hinz, who makes a point. She's been pressured so often to get married. She got so fed up that she decided to get herself an instant family. So she's got herself a mannequin husband and a mannequin daughter. It's, of course, an artistic statement to say, look, you want a family? I'll get you a family. But what is she trying to say? She's trying to say society puts pressure. And the church is like any social organization will put pressure on you. Like, here's how it works, you know. You come to church, you come to second service. After a while, you feel guilty. You better do something because you've been around so long. So you try to do a bit of pieces here and there. But your heart is not there. And if your heart is not there, there is no real change. And that's why in many churches over everywhere, this is a big disease. Now here, I'm not trying to pass judgment on any of you who are doing it at the back and clicking when the message is boring. You don't want to say that. And I want to say this in love. Because when the message is boring, the guy sits behind there and starts to play Tetris, Minecraft, feed his animal. Now you all know, But today we want to talk about honesty. My question to you is this. If we are all honest, me and you came to church for selfish reasons. Some of us came because we were lonely. Some of us came because we wanted to meet other people. Some of us came and it actualizes us. But it is one thing to come with mixed reasons. But God wants me and you to be totally loyal to Him. And if we continue this way, you will never have a pure heart. Because, as James says, we become double-minded. Real transformation begins from inside out, not outside in. A lawyer tested Jesus by saying, which is the greatest commandment in the law? He was expecting Jesus to say, you know what? Here are 10 commandments. Which one? Do not steal. Do not kill. Name me one law. Why? He's trying to say, if I keep that should be okay. But Jesus replies, love the Lord your God with all your heart, then your soul, then your mind. What is he saying? If you don't love God, rule-keeping has no value. You're doing it because you're guilty. Or you're doing it because you come to church, you better put on a religious front, either that people will talk bad about you. But rule-keeping only works if the heart is convicted about it. And we're going to talk about how that happens. And then the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. Any action of mercy, any action of piety, any prayer, anything you do, if it doesn't come from loving God, again, the external behavior and the internal intent doesn't match. And God wants this morning to just remind us, He wants to fix our hearts. And if our heart is fixed, it starts from there. And this fixing the heart is going to take the rest of my life and your life. How does that happen? First, you got to realize the potency of the heart. The heart, not your emotions, is deadly. He says this, for out of heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. The heart controls the mind. But here's the thing, and I'm going to be a little bit uncomfortable here. No one knows it, isn't it? Only you have it. You and I could have some struggles. They could be sexual. It could be emotional. It could be ethical. But so long I keep it to myself come to Sunday, it's going to be fine. Is God going to tell you it's not? Don't get too depressed. There's some good news at the end. But we've got to go through this. You've got to get depressed before you get... you've got to unpeel it off, all right? He says, you have heard it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. A few days ago, I travel outstation very often because of a job I have. Let me be honest with you. You put a guy alone in a hotel early morning or late at night, his mind wanders. With a click on a computer, you can surf anywhere you want. I don't have to get into the details, but you and I know what we're saying. But here's what he's saying. We play down sin. And then we say, you know what, we're not bad people. We don't do this and that. We just do a little bit of it. But that's where it begins. And when it begins, it has consequences you and I cannot begin to fathom. A few years ago, nobody knows where Ukraine is. In Malaysia, most people don't. Most people don't care about Ukrainian politics or whether Ukraine should join the EU or whether there were street demonstrations there. Now everyone knows. Now here's the thing. We are mourning as a country over MH17, over the deaths of children and women. You know how it started? It started because a politician, Yanukovych, took money from the Russians. That act of corruption led him to jettison the EU plan and to side with the Russians, which led to street demonstrations, which led to him being overthrown, which led to the annexing of Crimea, which led to Russia bringing in weapons, to leading to somebody shooting down a plane. What am I going with this? You and I say our sin is very small. Be not deceived. That little sin you and I have, it has tremendous implications. He started off by taking money, like most politicians. As a result of that, children die. You and I fiddle with sexual sin, no big deal. Because of that, you and I create an industry where women are enslaved. I'm using you and I. We want to be gracious here. You and I slander people, no big deal. You lead to a person's reputation being damaged. You and I hate, it leads to war. It leads to racism. Never underestimate sin. It springs from the heart. Here's somebody you won't take home to meet your mom. Here's a German rapper, Dasso Dog. Everything Christian right likes to go and preach against. He does drugs. He likes big cars. He's foul-mouthed, been to prison. Here's the good news for you. Dasso Dog doesn't look like this anymore. He's given up the drugs. Given up the women, given up the fast cars, given up prison. He's turned 180 degrees away from this kind of life. His heart has been set free. He's gone to Syria to join ISIS. Now, what am I trying to say here? I'm saying this, the heart can easily swing, you know. And very often we can replace one form of sin with another form of sin. And that will then blind your mind. Your conscience doesn't make you innocent. One day God will expose all our motives. So I want to challenge you this morning on this. Our actions don't necessarily come from right motives. God wants to fix us inside out. Now that will take the rest of our life. But where does it begin? It begins with me and you acknowledging our sins. And that's why I want to challenge you first this morning to do that. Would you be prepared to just sit there to say, you know what, I have this issue. No one else knows about it, but I have it. Because if you don't do that enough, you become numb to it. And you say it doesn't matter. But it matters. Whole host of issues. And all of us, you are throw a stone here, we all struggle with this. We may not be as bad as this, but it starts from there. And the cure is this, is to see God. To be pure in heart is to see God. To see God makes you pure in heart. Now, let me explain this to you. When you say see God, hear what Pharaoh says, get out of my sight, make sure you do not appear before me again. The day you see my face, you will die. Does it mean you go up to a person and say, I see you? No. For example, you say, I want to see Dr. Peter Ng. What does it mean? It means you want to make an appointment with him because maybe your bladder has problems. Okay? Meaning, you want to see someone is to be into his presence. Now, this is critical, you know. When you get into God's presence, that's when our hearts begin to change. You see, my heart craves for many things. I just don't need to tell anyone. And it's very tempting for me to come to church and put on another facade altogether. Especially where I am now, preacher, got friends in church. I can put on a goody-doo shoes. You and I don't know who I really am. But my heart has cravings. And if we're honest, our cravings are self-centered and sinful. Some of us have dark, decadent cravings. No one knows. Others are not so much. But they're still self-centered. Now, what God wants to do is to replace those cravings. And it's not easy to do it. And the way to replace those cravings begins by being admitted in God's presence. And when you get into God's presence, and it's not literally seeing him, two things will happen. One, Job tells us, my eyes, my ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now, what does this mean? He says when he gets into God's presence, he repents of his sin. So let me be brutal with you. Like any guy, most guys here struggle with sexual sins. The simplest thing to do is just be double-minded about it. But what God wants to do with us, and this is an Achilles heel with most men, you know, whatever your inclination is to say, you know what, you got to learn to hate it. The sinful nature wants to love it, so there's a fight. And this is what the heart does. The more you go into God's presence, you begin to realize these things have serious consequences. Now, it may not totally help you get rid of it, but it sure will help you fight it. Because you learn to do something the Bible talks about again and again, to hate sin. And hating sin is going against everything we are because we all love sin. It could be money. It could be gossiping. It could be giving in to hate. It could be corruption. It could be anything. But the first thing happens, you know you're in God's presence when you learn to hate sin. And that, brothers and sisters, will be a lifetime journey. So I want to speak graciously on here. I don't want to be self-righteous about it. But here's the second one, which is more important. David struggles with his sin so much. He feels so rotten himself. He says, they hear my voice when I call, O Lord, be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. And here's the good news. I'm not saved because I sin less. I'm saved because God loves me and he loves you. How did he show his love? By dying on the cross, by sending his son to die. And this is something I want you and I to soak in. And every day I wake up, I am victorious. I have his mercy over me. I have his grace over me. He loves me. And tomorrow you and I can slip back into sin. But if I hate sin, God's grace covers me. And next day, maybe I'm victorious. One day your habit gets worse. One day your habit gets better. But this is what the two things that pull you through. First, God's love envelops you with his mercy. And as that happens, you learn to fight sin more and more. And this is how the benefits work. They are cyclical. The more you begin to appreciate God's mercy in your life, the more you can show mercy. The more you receive God's love, how Jesus died for you on the cross, even though you and I are rotten sinners, how much you have mercy and grace. And I wish right now you could just pause and just really feel how much God loves you. And that teaches you to fight sin, to hate sin. And the more you do that, you become purer. The more purer you become, the closer you see God. And if you do not do that, you won't see God. You see your own desires. You see yourself. You see what you want to see. You come to church, you get bored. You come to church, you get uncomfortable anytime a message becomes too hard-hitting. You avoid talking about certain things. Why? Because we must not be double-minded. And we are not double-minded, we seek God. Day by day, it will be a joy to come before God. You see, in the end, we are what we are because of what we see. Essentially, what you want to see of God is determined by what you want. You know, some people say, I can't feel God. You know why they can't feel God? Because they made up their mind who God is to them. But come to God with sincerity. Come to God with utter on your knees, and He will fill you with His mercy. I look at this picture, I don't see art. I just see Campbell soup. You're an artist, you see it, you see art. I still don't see art now. But what I'm trying to tell you, with God is similar. Two people can come before an artwork and see different things. Same with me and you. And how can we see God if we are just honest, if we are undivided, if we embrace His love, His mercy, His grace? Then every day I say, Lord, even though I'm a sinner, I have Your grace, I will walk. And I want to challenge you. Some of you here are struggling with sin. You will struggle to the day you die. We are not here to judge you. God's grace be with you. Some of you feel you're very righteous. God wants to unpeel your hearts. There are sins you may not know. This is the tension we live in. And that is the way Christian living is. So let me close with 3 points. Number one, real transformation requires an undivided heart towards God. Why? Because we tend to be double-minded. You know, the name Arnold, used to be a whim's name, you know. When I was in school, they used to go through the names. You know, in Anwar, Lo Ching, apa nama ni? Anad Biscuit. Then Terminator came out. Suddenly became a bodybuilder's name. We have one bodybuilder here. That's Kevin. Kevin's in the corner there. He's a bodybuilder. You should ask him to show you his abs, you know. he's a real bodybuilder. I'm not anyway, but I try. I'm a bit vain, so I try to work out, okay. My daughter has a name for me, not for him. He's got abs. My daughter calls me Flabby Daddy. I try to hide it. So every time on a treadmill, I keep thinking my daughter saying Flabby Daddy. Then I go harder. Go harder, Flabby Daddy. I go harder. Why? You got to be focused. You got to be focused to have abs like Kevin. You got to be focused. It's the same with God. So I want to challenge you this morning in love. You have to be focused on God. And that is the will. So this morning, I want to challenge you. All of us have got divided loyalties to God. Tomorrow, we go to work. My loyalty is to make money. Or my loyalty is to my sinful habits. And so long no one knows, it doesn't matter. God says it matters. It starts by you ascending to the hill of the Lord, coming into His presence and saying, God, only You. Then you say, God, I don't know how to love You. I love my sin. I love all this stuff I've been doing all my life. I enjoy it. I don't love You, God. He says, well, God, I'm willing to let You transform my heart. And how does that happen? It starts inside out. It starts with you meditating on this, on the gospel, on a God that so loved you. He gave you His grace, His mercy, His love. So tomorrow you trip and fall, you will still love God. And as you go there, He will start to teach you to hate sin. As He starts to hate your sin, He gives you new desires. As you have new desires, your mind will be renewed. Now, this process will take the rest of your life, some more than others. And that's why the beauty of the Christian faith is the grace of God. And that's why you and I can walk away today victorious. You see, I don't want you to walk away feeling depressed. You know what? Honor really made me depressed. We're all sinners here. You and I got things I don't tell anyone, you don't tell anyone. The danger is to compress that and to lead a double life. That is not what God wants. Come clean before God. And by that, we will have clean hands. Let me close with one thing. It looks my entire worship team has disappeared. They're not back yet. Never mind. I want to spend some time to challenge you on this. Real transformation recognizes a deceitful heart. Why am I telling you this? Because I think most churches struggle with this. If you only come on Sundays, you don't know one another. You make church a ritual. It has actually very little real impact on your life. So I want to throw a few questions to you. Worship team, let's get up, shall we? Since we are here. Yeah, we're starting. Okay. Number one, what do you think about most of the time? Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. If you're like me, I'm thinking about my own things. And you stick me in a hotel room alone with no one around, my mind runs riot. Recognize that and say, God, I need to be focused on you. That's difficult. But it starts with that. What do you and I think about most of the time? Number two, are there areas in your life no one knows and you prefer it that way? Now, I want to be really non-judgmental here. I'm not asking you to tell everybody your problems. You know, trust is a matter of gain. But what I would like to ask you is that, do you prefer it that way? If it is, you got to bring that before God. Are there issues you avoid talking about? Do you have difficulties admitting to mistakes? Are you comfortable leading a spiritual double life? Do you avoid accountability? Now, before I depress all of you again, this is a starting point. I just want to come clean this morning because you and I, we're all sinners. But it really begins with this. You see, you're not careful. The church just becomes actors. We're all just actors coming on Sunday and say, hi, brother, hallelujah, how are you? That's not what God wants. He wants a pure heart. How do we arrive at that? At the foot of the cross. By a God who so loved you, so loved me, and that even though I sin tomorrow, His grace will cover me. And so long we continue in honesty, in sincerity, His grace will envelop us. So this morning, I just hope this challenges you. And I pray that we start off by being an honest church. We want to finish with two songs. The first is this. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to challenge you. Do you want to see God? Shall we rise as we sing this meditatively?
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you.
To see you high and lifted up.
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Lord, we continue with this time of worship. Lord, if I ask if anyone is struggling with sin, should they raise their hands? If we're honest with ourselves, all hands should go up. So we're not going to do that. God, you know our hearts. You know our struggles. This morning we ask, we come honestly before you. All our thoughts, all our desires, the things we hide from one another, the pretensions we go through to come before church, we will lay it at your feet. Lord, teach us to have pure motives, to have an undivided loyalty to you. We can do that because of your love and compassion for us. And we thank you, Lord, that tomorrow if I sin, you will pick me up. If I sin next week, you will pick me up. And as I continue on this journey, as you continue, as your people continue day by day, teach us, Lord, to hate sin as we reverently come before you. And as we continue to do this, Lord, we will see you clearly. We will feel your love. We will know you are our God. And this journey will take the rest of our life. But we are blessed, O Lord, that we do not need to walk away feeling depressed, but feeling blessed. Create in us, O Lord, a clean heart. Today, Lord, we ask you to renew a right spirit in all your people here today. Return to us, O Lord, the joy of our salvation, that we will walk away from this service feeling joyous and not depressed. For, O Lord, our eyes, we pray, will have seen you at the end of this service. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing the other song, Create in Me a Clean Heart. And we'll close with this.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. From me, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
Create in me a clean heart.
Create in me a renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence,
a heavy topic, oh Lord. We just ask, Lord, we just come seekingly and sincerely before you, Lord, that being a Christian is about joyful living, and it starts with an honesty. So Lord, we just ask, Lord, as we walk away today, that Lord, just renew us, oh Lord, and restore the joy of our salvation. Teach us to look at ourselves honestly, our struggles, our sins. Let us not be actors in church. I, Lord, am a sinner, and I struggle with sin as so much anyone else here. Start that work of renewal today, O Lord. and your grace, your mercy, O Lord, your compassion that you so love the world that you sent your only Son to die for us. May that just comfort us as we approach you before your throne. For blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And we say this in Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to ask Pastor Rama for the benediction.